What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You know, obviously the Yankees last night, they beat up on the Twins. They always beat up on the Twins. This was an annoying loss for them. No offense. Obviously the bullpen situation, striking again, trying to figure out who the right combination is. Yeah, you know, I'm so done with this guy in this situation, that guy in that situation. It's all on the manager. It's all on the manager. That's why I haven't sat here and criticized Boone today or Carlos Mendoza today. It's just like, I've just seen so much slop from these teams, you know, out of the bullpen, especially with the Mets starting rotation. And it's like, it's like one of these things where it's like you give a chef, you know, grade D ingredients, he's not going to give you a grade A meal all the time.
The thing that would concern, I'll tell you what concerns me more so with the Yankees, who's talked a lot about the Mets today, is assuming the Yankees get to the postseason, which I fully expect them to, and same with the Mets, even with how bad it's been, and I know both teams are kind of teetering right now with where they are in the wild card standings as well, but I do think both of them will get there. If you watched last night's game with the Twins, a team they always beat, and they all have owned them for years and years and years, that's the game last night, though, that reminds you of the postseason. They run up against a good pitcher. Joe Ryan last night just dominated them. I mean, at times was toying with them. He had the slider going, the fastball. He's blowing by them. It may not be the Yankees' best lineup, but you got a lot of stars in that lineup last night, and they did nothing. And the biggest issue the Yankees have had in the postseason the last several years has been they get to the playoffs, they don't hit, aside from Stanton and Soto last year for sure, and they did get to the World Series, so I don't want to make it like they never win a series, but they come up short a lot because they get shut down by good pitching. Last night was almost a microcosm of their postseason issues that they've had over the last 10 years or so, and a game like that concerns me because it was there for the taking. It's 1-1, middle innings, you're going for the sweep, you're finally feeling good about yourself. And they lost the lead. It was 1-0, but they never built on it. They never had a threat, really, the rest of the game. At least you could make the case with the Mets, as embarrassing as last night was. And it was embarrassing. You go up 9 runs to the Nacho Alvarez and the Braves. Good Lord. But at least the Mets put some guys on and had some opportunities to kind of drive. The Yankees did it. Anytime they get a guy on, double play inning over. It was just nothing for the last 5 innings of that game. And that would concern me last night if I'm a Yankee fan from that standpoint.
Well, yes, especially when you're seeing it here. But, I mean, if they went into the postseason mashing and were the most impressive offensive team in September, I would still be concerned about their offense in October. Fair. And Aaron Judge, because it's just a different animal. So, but you're right. I mean, this is a, you know, deja vu all over again type of situation with them against good pitching. And you just expect at this point that Aaron Judge, unless he shows you that he's going to carry his team offensively in the postseason, he's not going to be the same player in a regular season.
Well, we also went through that with A-Rod, too, until he did carry them in 09.
Barry Bonds, by the way,
for
too.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, before, you know, that he was a miserable postseason player.
No question. But it only takes one, and you just, you know, and you know, Judge did have some big at-bats last postseason. I know if you want to look in totality, it wasn't a great postseason, but did have some big at-bats. It's not like he did nothing last, but you are right. He needs to go out there and have a full stretch of games in October where he bats 400 and puts the team on his back, and they win series that they otherwise would not have.
Yes. If the Yankees make the playoffs but don't advance, is that still an Aaron Boone changing of the guard situation?
No. Did they not just sign him to an extension
last year? Yeah.
4 years?
I think if they miss the playoffs.
I don't think so. I really don't.
You think if they miss the playoffs, he's back 2 out of the last 3 years?
Logically, yes. You think Hal Steinbrenner is going to eat that contract?
I mean, it doesn't count against the
competitive balance tax. I'm aware. You're still paying a guy. I think it'll be so loud.
If they miss the playoffs, it'll be so loud that he's got to think about business. at that point.
Yeah, I suppose. I could see it already, though. Well, we didn't have a Garrett Cole for almost the entire season.
Oh, well, that's what's going to happen if they make the
playoffs. And Aaron Judge got hurt in the middle of the year. And
we made the play, we still made the playoffs, and we still, you know, won a game or whatever.
We were in the World Series last year. We did win the pennant.
Yeah.
Like, there are things you can point to. I'm not saying I would do this, but there are things you can point to if you like the manager that you're going to keep him. And Brian Cashman seems to have a lifetime contract. And I'm not one of these guys that thinks Cashman should be fired because he makes a lot of moves that I like, quite frankly. I thought what he did at the trade deadline made sense. Now, might have made a lot of moves, but he was active and he was aggressive and he did everything the fans wanted him to do. He did. And what has happened? You got guys hurt all over the place, and I'm not making excuses for them. Those are facts. But interesting, if they missed the playoffs, it's funny. I wasn't processing what you said. I actually thought you meant if they went out early in the playoffs. If they missed the playoffs,
that's 2 out of 3 years.
And that would be a complete collapse from where they were with a 5-6-7 game lead atop the AL East in July. Yeah, that would be interesting.
I think he would have to go at that point.
Just don't see him eating the contract.
Yeah, but I mean, you could make a case that if you bring him back, that the fan base is going to be like so annoyed that you might even lose more season ticket subscriptions or something like that, or it's just not going to be the same. Like, you can't, I just don't know if you can be so stale and weird. And
that's the word right there, would be stale.
Yeah, I mean, the fans don't like that. Yankee fans would be pissed.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The historic home run from Pete Alonso, and Keith Rad was on the call, and Gary Cohen, a trip down memory lane to some historic calls that John Sterling had, obviously the one with the Aaron Boone walk-off home run where Charlie Steiner was on the call as well. So we were talking about it and, you know, trying to figure out what was going on there. Why not just get the man himself on, John Sterling? John, welcome to BT and Sal. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. And Sal, for you, I see you on the SNY Met pregame, and let me tell you, you're adorable. And Brandon, it's nice to be on with you.
How you
whatever
doing, John?
You want, fellas.
John, you are the man. First of all, it makes me very happy. Thank you for the kind words. We miss you. We love you. So we were talking about this specific call in 2003, and how unfortunately for all of us, and maybe yourself included, Charlie Steiner had that inning with the Aaron Boone home run, and then you were getting the Yankees win, series over, the Yankees win, and then Charlie jumped in there. Can you give us some insight how that went down? Did he jump in without your permission? How was that?
Well, he turned and said to me, I always wanted to do that. I didn't mind, but it's funny. People knew it because the Yankees president, Randy Levine, said to me a couple of days, how about Charlie? Anyway, I didn't. You know, I've been working. I have been working straight for 65 years. And so I've done a lot of good things, done bad things. And I'm sorry I didn't have the Boone home run. If you want a little more on that, Aaron Boone came to me and said, I wanted you to make the call. Would you make a call for me? And I did.
Wow, you just recorded something. That is phenomenal. And he just said, what, forget about Steiner? Who cares about him?
Yeah, you know, he jumped in and he just said to me, I always wanted to do that. That's okay. I'll tell you about calls. Tino Martinez worked with me on a game in Tampa, his hometown, and Susan was off on a Jewish holiday. And it was a very tight game. And the Yankees won, you know, 1-0, 2-1 in Tampa. And so at the end of the game, you know, I did my nonsense, Yankees win, boo. And he was so snowed. And he told Susan, I've always wanted him to see him do that. He did it right in front of me.
Well, that was before the Sterling cam. That was before the Sterling cam. So Tino got to see it up close. I mean, John, so a moment like that, right? And we asked the question because, you know, with Alonso's home run, not the magnitude of a home run to go to the World Series, but a different level of importance. How much of that is scripted?
Well, not for me. Nothing in my life is. I live life by the seat of my pants, and I broadcast completely by the seat of my pants. I thought the Aaron Judge home run was a pretty big home run when he hit his 62nd of the year. And I can't think of another bigger home run, but I thought that was pretty good, the 62nd.
Were you nervous? Like, obviously in a good way, ready, but like a little nervous? Hey, I got to make sure I nail this.
No, the only thing is I wanted the ball to be out. There were two fences.
It's true. In left field, you're right.
There are two fences in Texas. Like most of the new ballparks, the fans don't reach over. So the Judge home run, although it only went in the first couple of rows, it had to go over between two fences. Anyway, you know, you do it and you hope for the best. I'll tell you how great that moment was, because we got off the air at the end of the inning for the spots, and who do you think called me? Susan. And she said, oh, that was great. Oh, that was great. So it made me feel good right away. And then the guy who's running Yes Now, I wish I could remember his name at this moment, but he was there on the road, and he took me out of my booth and played it. I could see it. Because, as you said, there was the Sterling cam. And you have to ignore that. You don't really want to be on camera all the time. And so I ignore it. That's what I do.
Have you listened to your former partner, Susan, with Dave Sims this year?
No. I felt it would be unfair. I didn't want to have to give an opinion. You know, Susan's great. We know that. And I just don't think it's very good if I came and had opinions. I don't have opinions. Everyone should, you know, Harry Carey once told me, he says, John, you know, everyone's good. We just have different styles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a different style than anyone in the world. So, no, I have not.
Have you missed it yet? Or is that something maybe in the postseason? Where are you at as far as missing doing those games every night?
Well, that's it. I don't miss it doing it every night. That's why I retired. You know, I've been gainfully employed for 65 years, but I didn't really want to. First of all, I will not travel. I did that. I traveled with teams for 55 years, and I've traveled enough. And so, and I really didn't want to get dressed and go to the ballpark every day. You know, I'm doing a show on another radio station. I won't mention the call letters, because you're good guys, but I do a show once a week for an hour with all my friends, broadcasting friends like you two, and that's enough. That's my speed once a week.
Yeah, no, they still have the fastball. I've seen some clips because you're saying what we're saying. Devin Williams, hey, Booney, you can't give this guy the baseball anymore, right, John?
Yeah, that happens, and what I would do with Devin Williams is not pitch him. And I said that on the air the other day. If the time to get him right is, you know, in these 8-1 kind of games, either way, when it doesn't really matter.
For sure.
But anyway, they put a Cash and David Stearns both put very good bullpens together, and they both needed them. And you know why they need them? Because of the stupid rules in baseball where the biggest thing is launch angle. You know how the launch angle has screwed up the game?
I hate it.
Yeah, that's why. Oh, absolutely. That's why there was a time I went on the air a couple of Saturdays ago, and there was one National League hitter hitting over 300.
Oh, my God. One. That's insane.
Is that terrible?
Yeah.
And that's all launch angle.
Yes, sir.
And there's a story that I have heard a couple of times written by my buddy, one of the best in the business, Dan Shaughnessy. And apparently in spring training, a young Red Soxer came out of the cage and talked to Jim Ed Rice. And Jim Rice was giving him a couple of pointers, blah, 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 on this or that. And one of the analytic pointy heads came over.
The nerds, the geeks. We got you, John.
The nerds, same language. Right. He came over to Rice and he said, please don't talk to him anymore.
Wow.
Said,
wow.
Why? He said, we're teaching something different.
Wow.
Jim Ed Rice,
wow,
who was a legitimate, not only a home run hitter, yeah, but a high average hitter.
Yes, he was.
You don't want Rice to. Anyway, how ridiculous,
it's
right?
It's idiotic, John. It's the game is very different. Doesn't mean there's not many elements that we don't love. We do. And it's John Sterling, of course, with us. Wanted to get some answers on the Steiner stuff. BT and Sound on the Fan. I've got one more for you. And, you know, listen, back in 2000, the Yankees stumbled through September. They won the World Series. So you never really know, but you've seen enough World Series teams to know when you kind of have one or you don't. Do you think that this team could look like a World Series champion by the time they need to?
It's possible if Stanton, who's hitting better than he's ever hit, if he lays off the pitch that's low outside, no telling what he'll do. And I figure Judge will jump back. Yeah, the Yankees have a lot of home run power. What they need is very good pitching, because I think they have a good enough bullpen, I think. I think the Mets can go to the World Series. They have a terrific team. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say, well, why haven't they hit? Yeah, I'm sorry. That I don't know. But the top six hitters in the Mets lineup are terrific. And then the young kids, even though they're not terrific hitters yet, they all do one thing. They can hit it out, all four of them. So I'd say the Mets have a better chance than the Yanks of going to the World Series. But
wow.
First of all, you have to, one thing you have to find out, who are they going to play? they're going to win. Yeah, really? Who are they going to play? Well, of course, they don't know. No one knows until it happens. But, you know, that's the guess. A couple of years ago, Arizona came into the stadium late in the year. And I got to see people I didn't know. Brandon Fought and Kevin Ginkel and Zach Thomas and all these guys. And I really loved the way they played. The Yankees weren't going anywhere, and Arizona was fighting every night for a game. And they eventually made the playoffs. And look what Arizona did. They went all the way to the World Series, and they won two in the series, too. So. I think baseball predictions and predictions in all sports are silly because no one, and I mean no one, knows who's going to win an individual game. And you could have Joe Torre on, and he would play. That's why, as they say, that's why they play the games.
Yeah, and as someone once said, you can't predict baseball, John, right?
I heard that. And I told Susan, too.
John, you're the man. We miss you.
Love
best
you.
Of luck with everything. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. Great to hear your voice.
We miss you.
My pleasure. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
There
Thanks,
you go, John.
John.
So we cleared it up a little bit there. He was okay with
the
Trolley.
He was pretty gracious.
He gave you the honest answer about the Trolley Steiner thing. Mm-hmm. This is going back over 20 years.
If that's the real version. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing.
He said Charlie always wanted to. How about the note about Boone going to him after?
I told
you.
Yes.
If Boone, you know, you want that call, you want John on the call. No disrespect to Charlie.
No. You know what I did? Remember he was here.
Yeah, you asked him to do the recording.
I did. He was in doing some spots like in January or February before he went down to Tampa. I'm like, I know him a little bit. I said, hey, John, can you do me a solid? I was a little awkward to do it, but I did it. I want something I want to have forever. And he's like, sure, you know, that very stately voice, and he puts his hand up to his ear. Here's the 2-2 to Tierney, and he goes through the whole spiel. And he's driven out deep to it is high, it is far, and I have it on my phone forever.
That is tremendous.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Now, yesterday, or I should say Saturday, when they had Old Timers Day, first of all, station did amazing. Susan and Dave Sims did a great job interviewing everybody. I was listening to it, not live, but we do a great job podcasting stuff. So you can listen to it. Go to WFN On Demand. Willie Randolph was on. Mariano Rivera was on. It was loaded with good stuff. And there were two thoughts I had
in talking about this current Yankee team along with the dynastic Yankees. And that is, number one, the dynasty, specifically 96 through 2001, which is really the dynastic era, has ruined people's opinions on baseball in this town. It's ruined your opinion.
I agree.
Because that team was so good and so not human that the standard that the Yankees have to live up to is not fair. That's a dynasty. That's the greatest team I've ever seen. I'm not old enough to see the 27 Yankees. That is the greatest baseball teams over that five-year period that have ever been assembled. The Dodgers aren't even close. I thought the Astros were challenging
it. Yeah, they're not. Yeah.
But they've also had a lot of changes over the years where it's tough to even challenge it. So number one, as everybody was celebrating, not just the 2000 team, but really the dynasty, they've ruined it for everybody. Number two, and I have one example I pulled, but it was constant. These guys took turns bashing the current Yankee team. I mean, it was constant. It's like Paul O'Neill said, yeah, I'm a broadcaster. These guys suck. Now, he didn't say that point blank,
right?
But there was a lot of that. And to me, this was the biggest one. Jorge Posada. This was a question asked to Jorge, obviously not even on the Yankee broadcast. This was by SNY, who interviewed him. And the question was, hey, Jorge, what do you think of this current team? Here's the question. Here's the answer. And we'll discuss.
What do you want to see change for this current Yankee team?
A little less, you know, want to do it. Like, it's just more about attitude than anything. So just gotta get a little angry. Hopefully a fight or something that happens. Not a fight, but something that happens that gets them going again.
Are we going to see a fight break out in the old-timers game?
Not here, but... Yeah, but they need to have that chip on their shoulder. You know, the players, you got to play like that. You know, you can't be friends with everybody.
Okay, there's a lot here. He obviously stopped himself from saying fight. Took him about 5 seconds. He was like, oh, crap, I don't want to get in trouble. But then, when given the opportunity to joke about Alzheimer's Day, he brought it right back. Like, it was almost, I'm not done yet. I got more to say. I don't like players being friends with the opponent. Now, that's a broader issue. I mean, the Mets are dealing with that, too.
It's unfortunately, I think that's a today's athlete thing more than it's a Yankee problem.
I agree with you. Okay. And that's what I thought when he said that. But to go out of your way, instead of saying, hey, their pitchers need to go deeper into games, or B, they need to be more fundamentally sound. These are all valid baseball critiques of this Yankee team. Or their offense needs to be better, which it hasn't been for over a month. They still lead the American League in runs, but we've seen it go downward. He went right to the attitude. And I heard that a lot from Yankee players over the last couple of days, really Saturday. And I found that interesting, that that's the thing that jumps out to them about this current Yankee team.
Well, by attitude, I mean, I guess the last guy the Yankees had with true attitude, and I thought he was a little overrated by the fan base, was Brett Gardner slamming the bat against the top of the dugout. They don't have any of that anymore. They don't have Paul O'Neill beating the crap out of a water cooler, any of that. But at the same time, what is their reason for being any of that? Because as long as that manager, and I understand what he's doing, goes up at every post-game press conference and makes every excuse under the sun for players, where is the internal pressure in that locker room to be held to, like, a breaking point where you're going to show a little fire and a little what now? Because every time they lose a game, we don't know what's getting said in the actual locker room, but publicly, all of our ire is always at Aaron Boone because it feels like he's lying to us. You know, if a couple more people got thrown under the bus, maybe there'd be a little more accountability in that room and more people would show a little stressed out nature and a little fire. I don't know. I think that all trickles down, don't
you?
So
you don't think it's the roster makeup. It's the manager and the tone that is set.
Yes. I think if enough reporters got their cues from the manager and said, man, you know, Aaron was really hard on you after the game or something like that, I think all of that stuff trickles down. You get a little more angry. Then you have, you know, it doesn't have to be a locker room split, but, you know, players looking at each other going, you're going to pick up your slack here? Look, you heard what Aaron said, this, that, the, like, you don't get any of that. There's no feel or need that any day, because any day they just walk in the locker room and goes, oh, it's the day we're going to turn it around. Our manager said so.
Yeah. I disagree with you, but I also kind of disagree with Jorge.
Okay.
I think that, and I said this about the Mets. We were fighting about this a few years ago when the Mets had the bad year, and it was, oh, the locker room. The locker room's an issue. The locker room's an issue. And then last year, the locker room wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
Unless you believe J.D. Martinez was magic and Jose Iglesias was magic, it's a similar roster. Now we're back to it again this year with the Mets. Ah, the locker room. Same thing with the Yankees. The Yankees were in the World Series last year.
Sure.
Was the lack of fight, the lack of being in a fight, or in your case, the lack of accountability from the manager, was that a problem when they got to the World Series?
No.
They were set up to win game one?
No, but it's a reason they lost the World Series.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Like, that stuff did them in. The manager did them in. And I think last year, unfortunately, the Yankees, look, any, I don't know, any bad steak could be a good steak with the right sauce, right? The Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, King Aaron Judge combo, I think masked so much of that that the team looked at. So we have two of the five best players in baseball.
Right,
look,
right.
One of them is always on. And I think that led to the winning, and that led to a lot of that, masked a lot of what happened.
I think the reasons why the Yankees are where they are and the Mets are where they are has more to do with what they're not doing on the field versus they're not tough enough and they're not angry enough or they don't have the right leader. And
if they were tougher and angry, maybe they win more games on the field.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's really just about performance. I mean, the Yankees starters don't go past the fifth inning.
Nope.
Is that because they're not tough? Is that because they're not screaming and angry enough?
I think it's for multiple reasons.
Okay,
but yeah.
King Aaron Judge hasn't had an extra base hit since he's come back from the IL. Is that because he's not angry enough?
No, I think that's because he always is slow off the IL.
But that's my point. Like,
but these problems go beyond Aaron Judge even going on the IL.
But they
were
in the World Series last year. The Mets were in the NLCS last year.
All
of a sudden, the rooms. Yes, the Yankees were in the World Series last year.
Were these Yankees in World Series? Because I don't see Gerrit Cole. I don't see Juan Soto. I don't see Gleyber Torres.
The guts of the team were, yes. Same thing with the Mets. Guts of the team.
Maybe they lost some of the guts of this team.
How'd they lose it?
Their ace not being here.
So you think...
Their best pound-for-pound player not named Aaron Judge not being here.
Well, Soto's a tremendous player, and I think that goes back to what they lost baseball-wise.
Their tone setter in September and October not being here.
Who's that?
Gleyber Torres. He top of the order, he did. The team's still searching for a leadoff hitter.
I'm not disagreeing.
I know, and I had my issues with Gleyber, but you think about you when you want to talk about teams getting hot and being in the dance, the Yankees really, 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 truly getting hot and like taking off for good, a lot of that had to do with Gleyber Torres settling into the leadoff role.
I'm not laughing at the fact that Gleyber Torres wasn't important to the team. It's just weird to hear you waxing about, boy, they miss him.
I know. And look, this is where you're guilty of this, but they never replaced that either.
Now,
as much as we had problems.
Now do the Mets. Is it J.D. Martinez's leadership? Is it Jose Iglesias singing OMG? What are they missing?
I mean, that one's a tougher one for me to say. Like, okay, some of that magical stuff. I think that certain teams in certain years have pixie dust on them. And I think the Mets had pixie dust, and it's kind of inexplainable.
So what are they then? Because here's a weird thing, and I was picking on Tommy about this.
I think they're
two weeks
an average
ago.
Team with starters that don't go deep enough. And I think the anomaly this year with those three big bats specifically, I'm not calling them the Fab Four, talking about the three big bats.
Yeah.
I think this is a complete outlier negative year for that core.
So what does that mean? They're just an average team?
Yeah, I think they're an average team.
But they should
be
better offensively.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the thing I battled with Tommy last year, and eventually he won on me, was the Mets got off to the bad start. And then really from June 1st on, whatever the date was, they were the best team in baseball. And while I would argue with him and say, yeah, they're good. I don't buy it yet. You'd always say, yeah, but since June 1st, they're better than the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I would say you were right because they got to the NLCS and they were one of the best teams in the National League from that moment on. The Mets are doing the opposite now. So am I supposed to believe that, hey, since April 28th, they're an under 500 team. That's who they are.
Well, I just think there's multiple ways to accomplish your goals. Like you could start off hot. You could have a slow period. You can get hot again. You know what I mean?
You can, but the Mets ended up answering what you said last year by being that best team all the way through.
But I just think
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, but I just think that each year is unique. And last year, the uniqueness of that team is that they kind of started going downhill in early June, and they kept that momentum. And even like a little hiccup here and there, but they never really lost it. This year, they've lost it, and they've had a harder time kind of finding it. For a myriad of reasons, and I think probably the biggest one is the not hitting with runners in scoring position. But the Soto home runs, there's going to be guys on bases at some point when he hits. A guy's got, what, like almost 30 home runs right now? Like, things like, to me, it feels more flukish, more just that's baseball than it is that this team is somehow broken or is missing the pixie dust
so
of last season.
You may not have heard this because you were in Nashville drinking your face off. Good for you for that.
Yeah, I did not hear that.
No, you didn't hear this, but I got an email while doing the Rico Bronya saying, hey, we should call Juan Soto Juan Solo from now on. And I was like, I got to tell you, it's freaking brilliant.
Juan Solo.
So Joe B over the weekend, and he's the one guy I trust who's like, no, I just thought of this on my own.
Juan Solo.
Said, you know, this guy, all he does is hit solo home runs.
Absolute stiff. Juan Solo.
I'm going to start calling him Juan Solo. And it reminded me that, because Joe didn't hear the Rico. He certainly didn't listen to our show. He's not listening all the time. I don't think he listens at all.
No.
But that was an example when I heard it this morning, Saturday morning at the beach. I was in Coney Island, and I was listening to my man Joe B on Rewind. I said, we haven't worked together in 5.5 years, and yet we still think alike.
Juan Solo.
That it's popping in his head on a Saturday morning. We should call this guy Juan Solo.
Absolute stiff.
It's either that or I could totally see knowing Joe. Big Zoo called him that down the line talking to Joe at his ear and said, this guy's like Juan Solo.
Oh, you think so?
Big Zoo's a Rico listener around the station, and I think he could have fed it to him.
Well, I'll tell you something that I guarantee Joe came up with by himself, and this one caused me to lose my mind laughing. Okay. Again, went to Coney Island, had a great time. More on that later. I'm sitting on the beach listening to Joe on Rewind, and listen to this comparison he made about the Mets pitching lab.
That lab is starting to be like, that lab in Wuhan, China. You know what I mean?
Come on. The laugh after.
Everything about that cracked me up. The laugh, the cell.
He couldn't even finish and he was laughing.
Oh, he loved it. It's like he had that line in his head for a while.
He had tried it out on himself in the shower, right? Talking to himself.
So is Joe saying that the Mets pitching right now is worse than COVID? I mean, that COVID was bad, bro, but have you seen Sean Manaea recently?
Your call's next.
I think it's time House said something. Like, he is just too silent. He is too detached. And I'm not saying that he's got to change personality and throw fastballs and barbs like his dad. Because he's much more composed. He's just a completely... He's his anti-George, really. Right. But don't you think there comes a point... Now, maybe, listen, maybe they avert this because they won last night. Maybe they sweep the Twins, it gets healthy, whatever. I still believe that people should be put on notice by Hal in however he wants to do it, his own way, not overly bombastic. Don't you think that the Yankee owner at some point needs to say something?
Well, I know we have some fun with it and joking around about the King Cohen stuff, but I like hearing from him. At least it's showing like, hey, I know what's going on here. I have to love it, but I still believe in this team. At least acknowledging it to a certain extent. Yeah, I'd like to hear from Hal. Now, again, like we'd like to hear like, yeah, you know what? If this continues, we're going to change everything from top to bottom, blah, 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 blah. You're not going to get that, but at least some kind of... addressing the fans, forget the media, but addressing the fan base, letting them know, like, hey, this type of play is however he wants to do it, his own way. We know with George with the missive that Mike and Chris used to have fun with the missives all the time. Like, we know we'd get something from him, and it would basically be, hey, this is unacceptable, what's going on, whatever it may be.
Yeah, Mike would actually rattle the paper.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of in between there.
Correct.
Just say it just make you feel like, I know it's
a
rational...
Well, they just know that you have a pulse.
All right.
I mean, that you're watching what we're watching.
I know. Now, we know that he is.
I understand that.
But there is something that makes us feel better about it when he at least acknowledges it, even in a benign way like Cohen did with the Mets.
It's so true. And think about this. When I was off that first show, your theme was basically culture and accountability.
Yeah.
And a statement like that really satisfies both. It's a culture of expectation, and when you address it, you're addressing it because it's not being met. And again, you say it in your own style. You don't have to be a lunatic, like not how you or I would say it if we owned the team or even, George back in the day. But you say it, and then you put everybody on notice in your own way. It's an expectation thread. I don't know why he is always so reticent to do that. He never does that.
Yeah, it's just maybe just not in him.
I wish it was.
And that's why kind of before, just to tie it all in before we get back to the calls here, at some point, there's got to be some acknowledgement from the Yankee hierarchy that understands that even with the result of getting the World Series a year ago, big picture, even with the consistent success, for the most part, something is just not working. And I get the feeling that you were saying this when we first were together a couple years ago, bleed out. If they miss the postseason, that's kind of like bleeding out. And I don't think they would get a pass this time. I don't know that. I don't know what they're thinking as far as Cashman goes. And I'm talking about Cashman. I'm not talking about Boone. Like, until you change Cashman and then let whoever comes in reassess everything, including maybe more specifically the analytical department, nothing's going to change. If they miss the postseason, I get the feeling that maybe Hal and ownership would be more likely to make a change.
And by the way, Sal, it's not just like a pound of flesh. I don't need my owner stomp at a table. Yeah. It's not even for the theatrical aspect of it. It just, when we talk about how far the Yankees are from what they were, and there was just a gold standard, and if it wasn't met, there was instant repercussion. Mm-hmm. Just kind of speaking to it in your own tone and in your own way, it reinforces that you are still the Yankees. Like, when the Yankees are dry, I know they won last night. Fantastic. I'm happy, but I don't think that changes the big picture for me at all. But when they're drowning for the last couple of years in the middle of the season every year for months, and nothing is said, I just don't understand it, and I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I'd like to have some kind of something from Hal here, whether it's on X or whether it's to the media. 888, or you want to call us at 888-808-1019. Marcelo is calling from Miami. What's up, Marcelo?
How's it going, Style? Love the show. Listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm feeling kind of like you when it comes to the Mets, but I don't really have the positivity that you have. And I wish I could be that way as a fan, because listening to you, I know you're like that with the Knicks, the Mets. But this season is reminding me of 2007, and it's really not a good thing when we had to fire Willie Randolph and bring in Jerry Manuel for some kind of a change. And that season, even though there was a change, it didn't end well. It was the worst collapse ever. And feeling that way, it's not a good thing. And I don't know. This is just making me remember the other day when you said Lindor was going to be the best shortstop of all time. And I'm like, what?
Who said that?
Now, no, that was Hoff. That wasn't Sal.
I was like, I didn't say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well,
you know, we did. And thanks for the call, Marcelo. We appreciate you checking in and appreciate the kind words. You know, I hate taking these days off because I'm getting texts like, yesterday I'm getting a text from the ghost pest control guys. I told you they do some of the, dude, I've had some issues there. My God.
You had a snake a month ago. What'd you have, a raccoon the other day?
Yeah, the house just smelled like raccoon.
Everybody
anyway,
telling you to get out. Go back to Long Island.
So you're not kidding. A skunk, right? What a skunk. Raccoon skunk. Yeah, so right. They were texting me the other day, like Arizona State. And I'm like, this is yesterday. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not. And then they're like, oh, I thought maybe you were sick or something like that. I was like, no, it was BT. I don't know.
Pat Murphy, of course. No, I was giving him. I love the way the Brewers play.
So then maybe
I was saying that they play collegiately, and I said Notre Dame, and I think I said Florida State. So it was Arizona State.
I believe
and
so,
because
one of the guys, Zach, played at Arizona State, whatever it was. Yeah. So I'm like, no, I'm off. And now you get Marcelo saying that I said Lindor's the greatest shortstop ever. Yeah. That was Hoff. I didn't say that.
Ask him. He said
Come
it.
Come on. No, I didn't say that. But back to the point, CBT, this is kind of who I was addressing before. He referenced 2007.
Mm-hmm.
This is not 2007. Like, the Mets aren't, they didn't have a huge division lead, 17 games to go with seven game lead with 17 games to go. That's not what's happening. If anything, I think we could see the reverse of 2007, where the Mets can catch the Phillies, where it seems right now like it's impossible for the Phillies to lose the NL East. That's how it feels. We all feel it. We're all watching it. We're all living it together. Right now, six-game lead and getting worse by the day for the Mets, as for a six-game deficit, getting worse by the day for the Mets, it seems like it's an impossibility they could win the NL East. Things change quickly. All of a sudden, the Mets go on a heater. The Phillies lose 4 out of 5. And then what? Now you're right back in the thick of things and season back on, division back on. So, no, I don't see the comparisons at all to 2007 with this group.
I don't disagree. Although, you know, listen, I don't. I'm actually with you. But I was looking at the 2007 stats, like, and it means nothing in terms of collapses or what this team might do. But, I mean, I did like that lineup better. I mean, obviously, David Wright was fantastic. Delgado had a good season. Beltran was a stud. Not that it really matters. Reyes was obviously terrific. I agree. I think the Mets could win this division. I don't think that they will, but I'm not like...
But even if they don't, it's not 07-like.
No, I'm with you. I'm not reaching for the tombstone and saying that the Mets will lose 19 of 25 and languish to an 81-81 finish. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying, specific to both teams, is I don't think either team's good enough to win the World Series.
That's fair enough.
All I'm saying.
And that's a different conversation. Think about it this way.
Get there, by the way.
Okay, fair enough. Think about it this way, as it pertains to the division. Did anybody expect the Mets to win the division going into the year?
I'd have to double-check the odds. The Mets were around... No, I mean, the Braves were supposed to be a lot
Braves
better. Phillies.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Okay, like, now I'm not absolving that. Hey, go win the division. They want to win the division. I want to see them win the division. It's not just let's get in and see what can happen here. No, they want to go win the division. Well, go do it. Show us that you're big boys. Now, where I would say the comparisons to 07 is that after the 07 collapse, they needed to break up the core of that team, and they never did.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't make the postseason this year, and I'll take it a step further, even if they make the postseason but get ousted quickly, I would not be patient running it back with the same group of guys again. McNeil out, Alonso out. I'd trade Nimmo for whatever I could. And if I could move Lindor, I would. Soto's the only thing I would keep and try to build it around him. But I would be aggressive in cleaning house, because now it's not just 1 year. It's that this team can't look the Braves in the face. Remember, 2022, they got beat.
I remember it
last
all.
Year, even the postseason run.
That was the year Chris Bassett really pitched the only good game down there in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, Bassett. They still had DeGrom, Bassett, and Scherzer at the time. Yep. But either way, like Lindor, Alonzo, McNeil, Nimmo, got punked again by the Braves. So let's see how it plays out. It's August 12th. There's plenty of time here.
Would you like the updated odds, or should I save? You know, I'm going to save this for both the Yankees. We do this from time to time here with PT and Sal. The updated odds in terms of projected win totals, projected winning percentage for division, and playoff viability. I got them.
All right, and when we come back, we'll do a little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie with Hoffy. Make sure you decide, you decipher whose voice is who here. BT, me, and then Hoff. Don't put us on the line here if Hoff's saying anything crazy in his bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. We'll do that when we come back. You know, I was just confirming our plans for the 21st.
I just texted the big guy as well. I said, how many balls do I need to bring to the course?
Oh, you know what, dude? I forgot.
I get crushed there.
This is why I don't like playing. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Hanging out with Mike is going to be great. Dude, I'm telling you, it was the best meal I've ever had in my life at that country club.
Take it easy. You don't have to lay it on that. The best meal. Wait, better than what Frank does for you at Rails? Stop, dude.
No, at a country club.
Oh, my bad.
And
gotcha.
Honestly,
I got you.
And honestly, it was that good.
We know you love Mike, but the best meal you ever had.
Well, you got to remember, I'm not experienced with these country clubs. Like, I didn't grow up.
Neither am I.
So when I go there, like at the Safe at Home thing with Joe Turner, I'm like, I feel like I don't belong. Like, this place is so.
Well, we don't belong there.
Exactly right.
And that's why we're not members.
Literally don't belong. But anyway, same thing with Mike. But it'll be fun doing it. The last time I played golf was last year when I did the same thing. I played twice last year, back-to-back days. I haven't picked up a club since.
Uh-huh.
And now next week we're going to be playing with the big guy.
Okay. I have a plan for us here. Because we're both worried about embarrassing ourselves to an extent.
Yeah.
Here's what we'll do. So I know you've got SNY, so we can talk about this off the air, but we will find a day before we go out with Mike on the 21st, right? And right after the show, we'll go and we'll play somewhere. We both live in Jersey. We're 15 miles apart, just about.
Play or just driving?
No, we'll play. We'll go play. Even if we play 9, no, I you know what? If I go to a course, I'm playing 18, you know, even if I play poorly. Like,
play 3 times?
Yeah, we'll find the Muni. I mean, the weekend's going to be tough.
Muni?
A municipal course, because my country club closed.
Oh, okay.
You know, so otherwise I would just go there. So would you be up for that? Get a couple of reps in before the big guy gets to see you swing?
Well, let me ask you something.
Or gets to see my swing?
Yeah. Well, I am going to be playing the day before, so at least that'll be my practice round. But I don't want to embarrass myself there either. That's supposed to be with Gio and Jerry and Steve Hirsch, my buddy up at Quaker Ridge, I think we're going to go to, which we did last year.
Yeah.
And you've seen the guys in Pebble Beach. That looks insane,
by the way. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a life.
I'd just like
God
to go,
bless him.
I'd like to go sit and look at the golf course.
Well, like
Pebble
Al Dukes and Eddie Scazzeri?
Yeah, exactly. Let alone play there.
Look at seals in Monterey.
Don't you think a driving range would be more beneficial than...
Driving range, they suck. It's false confidence.
Right, but just getting the rep of hitting the ball, no?
No, you know why?
For somebody who hasn't played in a year?
Well, I'm not going to say there's no value. I'm not going to say there's no value. But for me, it's very misleading. To me, it's similar. It's similar. So, listen, again, there is value, but it's similar to all you do is, you know, you Bryce Harper, and you take 1,000 swings, and you haven't played baseball in 5 months.
Right.
You take 1,000 swings, and the pitches are coming in 65 miles an hour, not a wrinkle, no juice, and then all of a sudden you step on a course, and bang, there's 99, there's a 90-mile-per-hour slider.
All right, here you go, you're up.
Yeah,
I mean, tee it up.
The problem is, you can get, and again, to groove the swing, that's good, and certainly if you hit them well, it's a little confidence, but then you get on the course, the first downhill lie, the first slanted look, balls above your feet. Forget it.
Yeah, you'll see. I'm just going to pick it up and roll on.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, give me the court.
I prop it up every time. If it's not propped up, I prop it up. I don't care.
BT and Sal on the fan. As we talk about the Yankees, we'll get to the Mets and Steve Cohen in a little bit. Mets, a huge series starting tonight against the Braves out at Citi Field. Yankees continuing their series with the Twinkies. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I do think that if the Yankees miss the postseason, that everybody is going to be gone.
I agree.
Meaning not just, I'm talking about everybody. Like Boone's the obvious one at this point to say, well, if they miss it, he's going to be out. If they miss the postseason, because the biggest question is going to be, does ownership realize that they have a potential problem here with the infrastructure of how they're building a team? And it's easy for them to get caught up in, well, no, we win 90 games every year. But if they miss the postseason now, after missing it in 2023, now you're getting, and if you actually do the math and look at what's gone on since 2021, where they barely made the playoffs, wild card out.
Ugh.
2022, great first half, awful second half, embarrassed in the ALCS.
Astros smoked.
2023, out. Okay, World Series fine last year, but that proved to be the aberration. You lost Soto, whatever. It's supposed to be a better team. If they don't make it, I don't know this. I do believe, though, that there's a chance that they clean house. And people will say, well, oh, be careful what you wish for. Who's going to be better than Cashman? I think just they need a change.
They need fresh blood in there is what they need. They need different eyes in terms of how they evaluate players. Like we were talking a little bit before the show. I don't understand why there's this massive disparity between the Yankees' development of pitchers, which is very good, and position players, which is as futile and as feeble as it gets. Now, I was quick to agree with you. I'm like, I agree that they would clean house. I'm going to take that back. I need to amend that because I don't know that I agree. Okay. When you first said it, it struck me. I'm like, yeah, they'd probably have to do it.
Well, Boone at least.
Well, yes, I would agree that if they don't make the playoffs this year, they would move on from Aaron Boone. I think that that's the easy move for them. But think about what happened in 2023 where Aaron Judge ran into the outfield wall in Dodger Stadium. Yeah. They were going to be a playoff team. Not that they were going to win anything, but they would have been a playoff team. And that was their out. If they don't make it this year, you know what out they have? Well, hey, basically 60% of our anticipated starting rotation's not there. Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil missed 90% of the season. Clark Schmidt, Tommy John.
Yeah.
And don't you just get the sense of, again, forget about Boone, but from a Cashman perspective, don't you get the sense that Hal would lean on that again?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know with certainty, but I just get the feeling that at least it's on the table, whereas most of us would just be like, forget it. They're not going to change anything. They haven't changed it. They didn't change it after missing the postseason. They just went to the World Series a year ago. You could even make the case that Boone should stay on. His new contract didn't even kick in yet.
I know.
So, and they have been reluctant to, A, fire a manager in season, and B, fire a manager before his contract is up. Like, they just haven't done that. So, I just get the feeling, again, I don't know. I get the feeling that if they don't make the postseason, you could see finally what everybody's been clamoring for, a change in direction from the top on down.
I've got a question for you about Hal, but I'm going to save it. I wrote it down. Let's get some calls here, but I definitely want your answer on something in a bit.
BT and Sal on the fan. Charles calling from Rockland County. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's going on, BT and Sal? First of all, Sal, I want to say, past couple of weeks, the thing is the first time I've heard you be so optimistic about the Yankees, which is... As a diehard Yankee fan, it's nice to hear that. As someone else is on my side on this. But anyways, getting to the point about Aaron Boone, literally what you guys are saying, this is not his fault. I'm sorry. I think Aaron Boone, BT, like you said before the break, if he was on another team, I think he would be such a much better manager because he has the ability to manage a team. He's not being able to. They're not letting him actually manage the team. It's all analytics. And they're not letting him do his job. And if they gave him a week, 2 weeks to just show, Aaron, you got the reins here. You do what you want to do. I can guarantee that the Yankees' outcome would be so much better than what's going on right now.
Yeah,
he's literally being a puppet and it's horrible.
Yeah, I don't. Thanks for the call there, Charles. I don't know. Like, if I'm Boone and I'm coming from a 3-generation baseball family, you think I'm listening to some nerds pushing pencils?
He's not getting the job if he doesn't.
Well, you could get the job and then, kind of deviate and maybe cut some corners here and there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, unless it's in there contractually, like, whatever we agree upon, or it's a joint collaborative effort, lineup structure. I don't know. I don't know how they make these lineup or these contracts anymore. But I think that that's part of the reason why Aaron Boone post-game, when many of us want him to air it out occasionally. It's 2025, not like a nut job, not like Billy Martin, whatever. Not even like Terry Collins. I don't even need that. Right. And Terry was always very direct, and I love that. But some version of that is because there is that collaborative effort, and he bites his tongue because he knows he's working in unison and conjunction with many voices in the franchise. So he just bites his tongue and holds back.
I also do, I don't think this is a manager who's being held hostage here. Like, hey, no matter what, you better do what we want to do. He's like, oh, I really don't want to do this. But I think Boone likes the analytics. I think he enjoys it. I think he believes in it. I also believe that there's something else inside him that is the old school baseball guy that is not being either allowed to fully come out because of the way that it's been, because of when he got hired. Like, this is obviously a collaborative effort. They hired him in part because they wanted him to go out there and apply what they wanted him to apply. Like, hey, here's where you're going to use this pitcher, set him up in this lane. Here's how you're going to use the lineups. It's always going to be matchup based. There's got to be a better balance. And I think he knows better, but it's been how many years? What is it? 8 years since he's been doing it one way. Maybe he's lost sight of how to do it the other way or get a little bit more of a balance in there.
Listen, you've gotten to know him pretty well. I know him pretty well. You, matter of fact, just saw him on Sunday. I texted him something over the weekend, as you know, and we've had him in studio.
Yeah.
We like him. We believe in him. But don't you get the sense that Aaron Boone what he presents after a game
is
just a little different from Aaron Boone. Like, we've had
you know,
he lets it fly. He's a guy's guy.
Yeah, put it this way. All the thought, and we have done the same thing, like the lack of accountability with the in the Yankees organization. And I do believe that there is a lack of accountability.
100%.
It's not Aaron Boone that's not getting on to guys. I guarantee you, I know he's getting on to guys. Mm-hmm. I know he has. Like, that's a fact. That's not up for debate. I don't know how much is actually out there, Watt, and I'm not willing to share everything.
Yep, I got
but
you.
I know he's gotten on
Can
guys.
I push back on that? And by the way, you're right. Yeah. That's true. But to be fair to the and I like the guy a lot and I believe in him, but if he is getting on them, which he is,
it's not working.
Yeah,
well, I get you. We don't care. Well, that was kind of the argument, like Lance Lynn, I think it was Lance Lynn last week when I did the Foul Territory podcast and was saying, like, I guarantee you Boone's getting on these guys behind the scenes that just don't want it to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, I don't care.
Yeah.
Whether he is or isn't, it doesn't matter. What we care about are the results.
Yep.
My point is that you're right. What we see from Boone, who's sometimes reserved, although I think now you're starting to see a little bit more of him come out. You see the guy go, no, nobody has more ejections than he does in baseball.
I'm close.
Yeah. I did tell him. I said, yeah, come on, man. You're rubbing over my partner. You got to take it easy.
Is that well?
Bad influence here.
That's how we knew. He didn't read the paper. Hey, clean it up, Booney. That's five times.
He's a fiery person.
Yes.
But he's also smart to the point where he's not going to bury his players publicly. I think there's got to be a balance. Like, we talked about this when he was protecting Judge, who was in a slump. Months ago, whatever
I remember.
And he's like, well, is it really a slump? Like, yeah, you could just say, hey.
You mean at the beginning of last year, I think that was, right?
I thought it was earlier this year, although, memory serves.
I got it. It all rolls into.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it was earlier this year. Whatever the point is, he goes over the top to protect his players.
He does.
Publicly.
Yep.
But behind closed doors, he's making sure he's getting on these guys. Now, you're right. It doesn't matter if he is or he isn't. We care about the result. And if these guys aren't getting the message through,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, your kid could tell you that he's been studying for 5 hours a day. You bring home a 65. You didn't study well enough.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what you tell me. You know, and I'm not saying that the Yankees are equivalent to a 65 on a test right now, but they're not a 95 or 100 with that payroll and with those expectations. That's where they should be.
Two teams in New York won a baseball game last night, first time this month, which is hard to fathom. And you know what, Keith? In the first inning, I wasn't so sure that was going to be the case.
Oh, yeah, they both went down.
As Carlos Rodon in the first inning gave you vibes of bad Carlos Rodon as he loads the bases with nobody out in the first inning, and I'm sitting there going, if this guy is going to ruin an obvious win against the Minnesota Twins, it's one thing we question big games with him. Like, we're all worried. We're both Yankee fans. I don't think that's a secret. And we know that Carlos Rodon, as good as a year as he's had, in the big moment, we still question him. Like, he's going to have to do a lot to get that bad taste out of our mouths of all the big games he's pitched. But although last night wasn't a big game, that's a game you can't allow the Minnesota Twins to break out to a 3-4, God forbid, 5-0 lead early on. And that the fact that he was able to settle in, he got a big strikeout, was able to get out of that inning with just the one run, and then on cruise control and allowed the offense to do what it does. Thankfully, Carlos Rodon got out of that first inning because it was shaky there to start. And that's before we saw with the offense that we'll get to.
Yeah, with Rodon, I'm like, what version of this guy are we about to get tonight? I'm like, no way. And, you know, the keys to the game were like, do it again. Back-to-back wins. Like, you can't just win one game every few days. So with Rodon getting through that first inning, here come the Minnesota nice guys. He had a bunch of 1-2-3 innings. He had some efficient innings. He had some innings, a 7-pitch inning, 11-pitch inning, where I'm like, okay. He got through the first inning, and he's settling in, and obviously the offense was there. And the biggest thing was, he got through seven and preserved the pen.
Yeah.
And they showed him kind of giving Aaron Boone a fist bump and Aaron Boone saying good job and them kind of going down the steps to talk. And he could have came out after six. I think he was at 83 pitches, but I think all of us were saying, hey, we need one more out of Rodon. And him and Boone talked about it. And Boone said he just wanted to get a feel for where he was at. He goes out, gets through seven. And he hadn't done that since that Friday night against the Cubs after sweeping the Mariners in that 11-0 game where Cody Bellinger had the three, almost four home runs.
I think he Carlos went eight Rodon, that inning, right?
Yeah, Rodon? He went eight shutout. I was there that night. He went eight shutout that inning. So he needed one of these. The Yankees needed one of these. The bullpen needed one of these. They take the series, and you feel good about whatever's going to happen.
Yeah, and you're right. I think he threw 31 pitches and then threw 31 the next three innings. Like, he immediately got that game under control, and you felt a lot better about it. And then the offense real quickly turned around and exploded. And Anthony Volpe, like, there's a couple talking points about this game with the New York Yankees. Yes, let me preface it to everybody on social media and Twitter who wanted to hit me up anytime you mention anything about these games. Yes, it was the Minnesota Twins. We know this. The Minnesota Twins are terrible. The Yankees own them even when they're good. They traded away 10 of their 26-man roster. These are games the Yankees should win. That doesn't change the fact that Anthony Volpe looks like a completely different person defensively.
Yeah.
Completely different person. He is much more, and it's not even just the throws. He's more aggressive going after balls. Obviously, the throws are much better. Defensively, he is night and day. Night and day from when he was in the midst of his throwing issues. And then last night, the opposite field power. And what I love about it is the swag he's playing with, and that you feel like he needs that. A kid who's really struggled, a kid who knows that the fan base is all over him, having the yips at shortstop. The idea that not only is he playing well and brought his OPS back to a respectable, you know, kind of league average 7-11, which it is right now, like, even with doing that, the idea that he's doing it with some confidence and pimping opposite field home runs at Yankee Stadium, I feel like that's a big part of last night, and hopefully a part of the resurgence of this miserable team over the last
year. Yeah, Volpe is a nice, quiet kid. I said, you know, during that Miami series, I felt like he went to the dark side. He went evil. He went bad. And sometimes that's what's got to happen. Sometimes you got to, you know, hit rock bottom to just fight and come out of it, and he has come out of it. Like you said, the bat drop, and he knew he got it. He dropped the bat, admired it. He's got this different swag and aura about him. And then I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I'm so pumped just watching him throw the ball in the air, like not skip a ball in front of the first
base.
Like, I am like, yeah, let's go.
Steps.
When he's a vacuum out there now, attacking the ball, getting the ball and firing it in the air to first base. I don't know if there was some type of drill. I don't know exactly what he practiced or changed, but yes, Anthony Volpe has shaken it off. He's quieted the haters.
Yep.
He looks like a different version of himself now.
Now, you got to see it, because we've seen stretches of this kind of good play, and then it goes back to what he was, you know, the last month. So he needs to continue it. But then the other, we talked about Stanton already a little bit with the update with Chris. The other big moment is Judge goes deep.
Yeah.
And there is no question. Early. Well, there is no doubt. Now, Boone talked about Stanton still being an outfield option in St. Louis, and they don't know if they're going to, you know, put Judge in the outfield just yet. But Judge is the New York Yankees. We all know this. So the idea that if this team is going to go on a run and actually be a threat into the postseason, they need the best of Aaron Judge. And so far, they haven't really got it since coming back from the injury. Let's be honest, haven't had it for a while. I mean, as much as the season started and we were all amazed at his, you know, just without any kind of slump whatsoever for the first two
MVP,
and a half months of the
triple
season.
Crown pace,
triple crown, hitting 400 for the first 2 months of the season. And we were all just like, wow, this is amazingly enough, we're seeing an even better version of Judge. We haven't seen that for a while. And since the injury, certainly not. So for him to take a fastball, and again, it's against the Minnesota Twins, but for him to hit that home run, it just felt like a lot of the things you're looking for from the New York Yankees, you saw. And even though it's against the Minnesota Twins, and even though they do that, there is such a thing as a get-right game. There is such a thing as beating up on a bad team. We see college football teams do it. They did it in the longest yard, although it didn't end up working out, and the Convicts ended up winning that game. But, like, that's the whole point. You want to see, like, there is a thing to beating the Minnesota Twins and feeling good about yourself. The team needs to feel good about itself. And if they can fool themselves into thinking, hey, we've turned it around because we're beating the Twins, lie to me. Fool me. Let's go.
It's baseball.
Ignorance,
you're going to struggle.
Bliss.
You're going to slump. You're going to commit errors. And yes, when you have the Minnesota Twins right in front of you, that's an opportunity to go out and do what you know you can do. We know Judge is going to hit home runs. That's his first one since coming back. 38 on the year, 353 total. And what it just makes everybody feel like is like, okay, he's returning to form. And then, you know, like you said, they told us he's going to potentially be in the outfield against St. Louis. So we're getting back to, you know, we thought he might need Tommy John. We thought he might be shut down. So it is, you know, just refreshing to see Judge getting some swings. Like, there was he just missed one in the Astros series against Jason Alexander. And I felt like even he knew he just missed it. It was like right before the warning track. He didn't miss that one last night. And whenever him and Stanton homer, usually that's a recipe for the Yankees to win. And like you said, the Yankees go as he goes. He's the captain.
Mm-hmm.
He's the face of the franchise. So He got us started last night, and they didn't stop after that. Nine runs put up.
And we'll see. The talking point of Stanton in the outfield, so far it hasn't hurt them. So far he's been able to make the plays, but I'm still nervous about Stanton.
How can you not be?
Every time Stanton moves, every time he hits, I wait for them to show him standing on the base just to make sure he's okay.
We haven't seen him get hurt in the outfield. He hasn't played that much outfield. He's been on the base paths.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about him being fully in the game.
Yeah.
Him playing both sides of the ball. He was so dialed in last night. I'm like, oh, this is a guy who won the 2017 MVP as a right fielder, not a DH. Like, this is a guy that at 35 is reminding everybody, hey, I know you make jokes about my speed or my lack of athleticism. I can still do it. And he's lifting the ball in the air. His OPS is reaching 1,000.
Yeah,
he's batting 300. And this is the look of a guy that's like, hey, we're going to the postseason. I don't have too many years left.
Right.
Like, I'm getting us to October if I got to do it my damn self.
No doubt he's been, and that's what I tweeted last night, just get this man to October, because, I mean, what he does, and we're seeing October version of him right now. Like I said, we haven't seen this during the regular season very much. He's been incredible. Now, look, there are still issues with the team, obviously. Jason Dominguez, like, there's a couple of guys here to have real conversations about, because Jason Dominguez, for me, is almost unplayable now in left field. Like, with the way the Yankees play, the outfield they have set, especially if you're going to try and get Stanton in the game, like, you can't have Stanton in right and Dominguez in left. That's unacceptable. That can't happen. So if Stanton plays, Dominguez is not. That's just plain and simple. But that outfield of Grisham, Bellinger, and either Stanton or Judge, hopefully soon, I think that's the outfield you have to go with. I think Dominguez has now played, not, you know, has sat two games in a row, and as much as I care about the development of Jason Dominguez, this is now go time. They have to win. And we're seeing it also with the catcher position. I think those are the two, like, Rice, back-to-back games at catcher. I mean, we might see Ben Rice being the main catcher moving forward here.
1A and Wells be 1B, and I'm fine with that. I mean, it surprised me to see Ben Rice behind the dish the way that he's called games. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, these pitchers and their relationship with Rice. And then obviously his bat is better than Wells. But what you said about Dominguez, it is August now. We saw Dominguez struggle in left field back in March, back in February in spring training.
Yep.
And the Yankees cannot risk outs. They cannot risk putting him out. He's a liability. You need to win all of these games. We're running out of time. So he's young. He's going to have to just deal with it. And they'll find spots where they could play him. But, you know, his development is not a priority anymore. Nope. Defense is the priority.
And as much as the offense, and I know we have a problem with the offense, and listen, the offense, although I'll tell you, it's the best offense in the American League and they score the most runs, certainly there are times they get shut down. Certainly that's all offenses. And you always like to have the bat of that, his left-handed bat against right-handed pitching, because that's how good he's been. But the offense isn't the issue with this team. And we have seen this team, and this is what I talk about with Aaron Boone not getting a feel for the team. Like, right now, an offensive performance that goes flat doesn't feel like it impacts the team that much. Yeah, they might lose because of it that night, but it doesn't feel like it impacts the team and brings down their emotion or lets them down moving forward. Kicking the ball around in the outfield.
Yeah.
That's what's been the problem for this team. And you watch that Max Fried game, and I'm not trying to take heat off of Max Fried, but there are two balls that just have to be caught. Like, there are just games and plays that have to be made, and he's just not making them. So, like, and every time a ball lands that shouldn't, it just goes through you. We feel it as Yankee fans. There's no doubt we feel it. So there's no doubt the team feels it. Like, it's just at that point where it doesn't matter, man. I like Jason, and moving forward, hopefully he can figure it out with some more seasoning in the offseason. It's just,
it is what it is at this point. It's got too late. It's August. Did you see Chris Kirschner put out a video yesterday? It's Yankees are practicing fundamentals, is what he wrote on Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
And it's these guys practicing. So that, to me, is showing urgency.
Yeah.
Not playing Dominguez in the outfield is showing urgency that, hey, this can't happen. And, you know, for the whole year, everybody talked about the Yankees' lack of fundamentals and going back to the World Series. You can't put guys out there that are going to continue to commit errors, because it just starts to stack on top of each other that, hey, this is what they are. This is Aaron Boone baseball. This is Booney ball. This is how the Yankees play.
Yep. And it is. And that's why you can't allow it as much as you can. You can't prevent it completely, because that's how they've played. But you can limit the
damage.
If
Dominguez had 20 homers and was hitting better, then it's one thing. But he's not hitting well enough to be out there.
No. Ben Rice is. He is not. Chris in Bridgewater. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
We're all Yankee fans. I've been a Yankee fan for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This team has no grit. the attitude problem on this team is they don't want to win. And you don't see Paulie Reels like Jeter anymore, like Bernie. Because
what does that have to do? Nobody sees teams like Jeter and Bernie. Where's the other franchises out there that have Jeter and Bernie? Like, stop. Stop complaining. Stop talking about Jeter and Bernie. My goodness. Mo can't even get through the old timers day without pulling his Achilles.
He did have successful surgery.
I hope he's phenomenal. I hope he's back next year out in the outfield. Stop talking about Bernie and Jeter.
Where are you, George?
We miss you, George.
Old timers day. Yeah, we got to move on from that. These guys want to win.
His topic, what was written here, was that there's no momentum to be gained from beating the Twins. That is a conversation. I think that's fair. I think for certainly the fans, I'm not telling you. I've tried to make it clear. I'm not telling you I've gained any momentum as a Yankee fan.
Sweep them.
I don't feel overly good about this team because they won these two games. And I know, listen, we're talking about the game. The game was positive. It's hard not to sound positive talking about the game last night. But by no means are we saying that they have somehow turned the corner. All I'm saying is they don't, like, the team doesn't feel that way. They don't look at it. When they're on the field, they're in it. They've been playing lousy. Now they've been playing good. It's possible it sparks them, but I need to see more as a fan. But the idea that, like, we have to compare them on a daily basis to one of the greatest dynasties the sport has ever seen that no team matches up against. We haven't seen a repeat champion since. And we're going to hang that. We're going to talk about because we saw Old Timers Day and because they had some quotes about what they feel would help change this team. Suddenly, they have no grit. He literally said the Yankees don't want to win.
The players don't want to win. Desperately.
Like, come on, man. Like, that's where we get too out of control. I'm as pissed with this Yankee team as anybody. I'm as frustrated with the way they've played over the last 2 months as anybody. But why do we always have to go back 30-plus years and every move Cashman's made and the organization and all its faults? Like, I get it. There's a level of frustration. Like, I think they should be gone, too, if they don't make the playoffs. But I'm listening to Joel Sherman, and I'm sorry. He's like, if they don't make the playoffs, or you're doomed to repeat history. If this doesn't happen, like, you have to fire everybody. Otherwise, it's just lunacy. And, like, I get maybe they should fire everybody. If they don't make the playoffs, I'm open.
They're not
going to. But the idea that if you repeat the last 8 years or the last 6 years specifically, if you are willing to repeat that, it's absolute lunacy for a team that's been to 3 ALCSs, won 3 divisions, and just went to the World Series last year. If you repeat that level of success or somewhat okay with it as an owner, it's absolute lunacy. That's lunacy. That level of success, the idea that someone up high might be somewhat okay with winning 3 divisions, going to 3 ALCSs, and getting to the World Series, you have to get rid of everyone who helped you do that. Otherwise, it's sheer lunacy. I have a problem with that.
This is what we get at night after the Yankee games. You know, we should record this. It's being recorded. Play this in the Yankee clubhouse.
I have a problem with
it. For some passion. And, yeah, it's just reality, Chris. Like, we got to stop living in the past. We got to stop going to the core four. And I know, coming off of Old Timers Day, I watched all of that stuff. And I literally tweeted about, hey, that, you know, there's a big difference. But there's a big difference in the world in 2025 versus the late 90s, early 2000s. And with this Yankees team, okay, similar to preseason football, I said, okay, Abdul Carter versus Deion Dawkins look good, but what if he didn't? What if he got pancaked? It's preseason football.
Right.
What if Jackson Dart goes out there and doesn't show you that he can audible at the line of scrimmage, throw a touchdown pass, take a hit, run the football? Think about the converse. If he looked over his head in preseason, then we'd be saying, oh, well, you wouldn't be saying it's preseason football, right? Even with the Jets, Justin Fields, that drive, and they're like, saying that it's the Minnesota Twins, to me, like, it is August. It doesn't matter. And I get it that they traded away 10 players. But it's the fact that the Yankees have gone out there and they've hit well. They've pitched well. They've played defense. Good. You're supposed to get right now. You know, you don't get to make your schedule. But perfect timing to have the Minnesota Twins. So, okay, if you don't have any confidence in this team because they've taken two from the Twins, that's fine. I get it. There's more that they have to show you.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I can't live like that. I can't live in that. Like, those guys get paid too. Byron Buxton gets paid too. Royce Lewis gets paid too. We'll see Joe Ryan tonight, weather permitting. Those guys get paid too.
Yeah.
And they're trying to win as well. They're not trying to step on the greatest stage in Yankee Stadium and being embarrassed. These guys want to get back to the World Series And they can't do that today, but all they can do is play today, win today. That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think anyone is overly confident off of these two wins, but you had to have them, and they got them. And now if they sweep today with a legitimately
if they
would have
lost last night just one game to the Twins, the mood would have completely been different. That's what I'm saying.
I agree.
They're handling business. If they would have lost one game to the Twins, people, oh, forget about this team.
All right. Yeah. No, listen, I agree with you. There's things to take out of the game and things to not take. I think that's fair.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.